Shalom everybody. I hope you're all doing okay. It's unlucky we have only our people here today. I hope everybody is doing great and are one with the mission and one pointed toward God. And probably it's a good day to see how much everybody knows about our teaching today. We can have some conversation among ourselves. You know, I think probably some people also got blacked out or blacked out in Northeast. The blackout they had there, and some people also like to come a little later, so they're not told what to do in the room. Some when we read about, you know, how to keep the energy up. So hopefully some other people gonna join us today. But if you have any question yourselves, you go ahead and bring it up. That's a good time probably if you have a question, and we can have a higher level of conversation among the people that are already in a mission. So if you have a question, raise your hand and we can go from there. Of course, a lot of people come during the weekend. They say they're going to be here, but somehow they don't make it. And there's always an obstacle for the people to do that. Of course, I can just go ahead and say this is the mission of Maitreya, and welcome to the conversation room. All right, Shirin, go ahead. Shirin has a question.
Shalom, Maitreya Ji. Shalom to the room. This is not Shirin. And I do have a question. And the reminder, I really like saying that, and sometimes different parts stand out in my mind, and so I contemplate on those, and it's really insightful and rewarding. But my question today is about the last line. In reverence, we bow our heads in front of all those great souls who will teach us how to know you and show us the way to pure consciousness, as is the goal. Could you elaborate how they help us? What does this influence that they have look like and how they do that? Thank you.
Yeah, the great souls have been with humanity from the very beginning of creation. And they have come as prophets, great spiritual teachers, as founder of great nations or religion or truth that have come to man, like Gandhi or prophets or messiahs. And although we surrender and submit to God only, we do respect these people for their contribution and help that they have given to us to realize God in a greater degree, and they have chosen by God to come to man to awaken to a greater level of consciousness. So they are great souls, and therefore they have to be respected and loved, and even if such a desire exists, you know, we bow down our head in front of them, because they have been helpful in directing humanity to higher level of consciousness. So that's what that sentence means. Of course, a great soul is a person that is absolutely dedicated to God and to helping humanity to go to God, and they manifest great things in past or now or in the future. And what do you think the great souls are? Who do you consider great souls, or are there anybody who can tell us who are the great souls? You know, I consider prophets and messiahs, and bring those people that they have helped you, humanity to become more God-conscious, great souls. People who raised wars and destruction and really didn't bring greater realization of God to humanity. You know, I don't think they are great souls, because they probably are not helping human to the higher consciousness. So, if anybody wants to tell us, know who are the great souls that you think they are, what is the great souls for you? Prabhupada says, all prophets in the greatest sign. Great, yeah, that is a good one. And, go ahead, Randy or Shireen. I guess that's Randy again. Go ahead, Randy.
Yes, sir, I agree with what you're saying about the prophets and all the information and experience and insights that they have brought to us, but also it seems like on a daily basis there is an influence. I know it's God, but I'm wondering if some of these higher souls are influencing events in our lives so that we can have the experiences that we might need for our own growth, or to get some clarity about something we might have been meditating on or concentrating on. It just seems like there's that kind of influence there.
Okay, what kind of the beings are there that are influencing our life, daily life? Do they have any names, or are they a spirit, or they are beings that just like a guardian angel or hierarchy? You know, what do you mean they're influencing our life daily?
There just seems to be events sometimes in the daily life that seem to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit or whatever element of great souls that makes up the Holy Spirit, including God, that seem to personally instruct us or guide us or set up events so that we have some kind of experience for our greatest good. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, sounds like your question is close to referring to beings like a hierarchy or angels or beings that they are agents of God between man and God, and therefore they are intercepting for us to have the influences that you're talking about. Well, we don't believe in those things. We believe man have to go to God directly, and the direct connection to God, we will reach Him, and anybody between us and God is going to be an obstacle in our path. Be it the teacher, be it the mullah, be it the rabbi, be it the father, son, or brother, or whoever, or hierarchy, anybody, or angels, and if we get attached to them and don't give the thanks and credit to God, we are still gonna fall from the highest realization and achievement. Therefore, we have to be very careful when we see these influences in our life, to give the credit and thanks to God directly, because all thanks go to God, and anybody else between us and God maybe help us to go to God, but He is the goal, to return to pure consciousness. That is the goal. The goal is not to, you know, praise the rabbis or mullahs, because they have created so much problem already, you know, but people becoming so attached to the Brahmins or rabbis or teachers, or that's why mission doesn't have really a teacher or teachers. Mission encourage every person to become a proficient in our teaching and progress by themselves toward God and learn the teaching in the highest level and give all the thanks to God, but no one else between us and God, of course. But that is why that last sentence in the reminder has been given, that also we give thanks to God for everything, but also we respect and give, you know, respect the people God has chosen to help us. And so there is a tendency in a lot of people, sound like they need something between themselves and God, some angel, some guardian angel, or hierarchy, or mullah, or teacher, and this and that. And that is one of the things is really is between human and God, that they have created an obstacle. And the stuff helping them to go to God, it makes them to stay in that level of consciousness connected to these beings. So I'm hoping that you're not talking about, or I'm hoping that we eventually get this very clear to our members and all humanity that the goal is to go to God directly and understand the eternal divine path and not to get attached to anything between us. Of course, there are influences in our, everybody's life every day. Everybody is guided to realize that they have to spend more time and energy toward becoming godly, becoming divine, following eternal divine path, and making their life in such a way, this is an example for other people also become godly and open and will wish to live in the communities of light. And so their influences are there, of course, and that is all from God, and everybody is guided. Of course, God has agents that he uses to send these influences for each individual and humanity, and that is the Holy Ghost. And that is the influence that come to us throughout the Holy Ghost, and we see those things that happen in our life that guide us to go to the higher level. Of course, the influences at all levels, physically, mentally, and spiritually, the more we, of course, we come tuned to God, the more we can see these influences in our life in a greater degree. But one thing, you know, everybody should make it very clear to themselves and everyone else, you know, it is the Holy Ghost. Even if there is a being, just like a Gabriel appears to Prophet Muhammad and tell him, you know, what his mission is, because he needed something like that. But really, even then, thanks goes to God. He manifests Gabriel as a being, so Prophet Muhammad accepts his mission, and otherwise he wouldn't, because he needed to. Somebody actually, he thought he was going crazy and has, you know, crazy visions and things like that. But is Gabriel really a human, have a human body like a man, as Prophet Muhammad saw it? For the vision that a lot of people have from angel, that they have a wing and they're like a little, you know, children and flying around. Probably those people needed those vision, but the greater realization of God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Yes, there are influences. There are each, as I said, even the smallest fish in the ocean, God knows about him. He knows what he's going to do, where he came from, and if he is concerned for the smallest fish in the ocean, of course he is concerned also for us, and we are greater than a little fish in the ocean. So, of course, for us, it is mind-boggling that a being that knows about everybody and everything and a grain of sand, you know, he is aware of them at the same time. We have to have the experience of that consciousness to really realize that is possible. For us, it is not possible to have the human brain, and even our brain, only 8 to 10% of it is really working. We have 90% is not really utilized. Just imagine if we can utilize the rest of our brain, probably we can realize the universe. Of course, God opens that part of our brain once in a while in a vision, and we can see that he is incredibly aware of everything. So yes, we are in grace of God, and the Holy Ghost always looks over us. But that doesn't mean that there's a hierarchy. between us, there is a being, or we should get attached with the teachers or angels and this or that, and but God alone. And that's the message really humanity has to realize. If they want to become one, that is the unity. God unifies. Anything between God and man will separate man from man and will bring destruction. Great, great question, and I hope that answers your questions. If you didn't, go ahead and have a follow-up. Of course, this is conversation again. We can all participate. If there's not much of a question, then you know, we can meditate or something like that. Just go ahead, Shakti.
Thank you, Maitreya Ji. As I'm listening to your teaching, comes to mind is the scripture that says that we can only go to the Father through the Son, through the Christ. And he comes, he is the highest on earth, to bring humanity to its highest, and such a rare occurrence for this to happen in one's lifetime. So I was seeing that the concentration with the knowledge we have of the past would keep us focused and one-pointed on that with the work we came to do. Thank you.
Now, what did it mean, you go through the Father, through the Son? What Christ meant, or what Prophet Muhammad meant when he said, you know, listen to a prophet, what he says is the word of God. What does that really mean, to go to God through the Christ? Is that believing that he died for you and raised, or believing Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet, or is the prophet of God, or believing in a name, or believing in something? What does that mean? You go to the Father through the Son.
That the Father sent his Son into the world many times to guide humanity, and the Son has the knowledge of the Father. He knows the Father, and for those of us who want to know, he will give us that knowledge of how we can go to the Father through the teachings, through meditation, awakening our spiritual forces, following the path. He is the center and the nucleus.
Okay, yeah, the operating word is guidance. He comes to humanity and brings a guidance. He brings the word of God to man. And so the only way to go to God is to are through the word came or comes through the prophets and in the scriptures and through the Messiah or the Son of God or the first begotten Son. So the path is that word guidance, the word of God. So can we go to God if we do not listen to the word of God, that he has come through his Son, and still we believe that we are going to go to God? No, we cannot. Exactly. So the whole point is to follow the word of God, to follow eternal divine path, to become an elect, to become a paravipra, a knight of the God's army, or people who have come to earth to show the way to God. So I show the way to you, and you follow the word of God and become an instrument for his spirit to come through, and you surrender and submit to God, and you become one, and you give thanks to God, and you join the promise of light. You follow eternal divine path, or at least try to create the promise of light wherever you are. Then you become a part of God's you know, plan. And as you have good progress, you receive the grace and unity with God, and you go to God. So nobody goes to the Father but those who will follow the eternal divine path. The guidance, the guiding light, the path that has been revealed to humanity. Of course, your focus also has to be on the manifested Messiah, because if you're not focusing on the only begotten Son, okay, it's very hard to focus in formless, invisible, endless, and eternal, because then everybody says, I received this revelation from divine, and therefore I know the way. I haven't, you know, fulfilled any prophecies, but I know, and I'm everybody should follow me. And as it happens in the other religion, after a while we will have to see that we will have separation between among people, because everybody have their own opinion, and some people appeal to some people, and some people appeal to other people, and after a while everybody starts following different teachers and realization, and the teaching and mission is going to be fragmented to many branches and ideas and understanding. But the focus is the Messiah or the central figure, then everybody will become one. And if you have an opinion, you can tell, it's my opinion, let's see what the focus says about it. Well, you can come bring it here and we discuss it together, and we clarify anything might not be clear to you or to anybody. So that is why it really works this way, that yes, the manifestation of Christ is very important, because that brings the Word of God to man, and because it's very hard for man to hear the Word of God directly themselves, and also who knows what you hear. That is what it prophesied, such a thing is going to come, and then it comes, and of course that's the Word of God. So great knowledge has been given to you all, and this great knowledge should be disseminated and given to everyone, and it will happen. But right now humanity is pretty much in mundanity and gross, and so much dogmas and separation and disunity and ego, that people even hear it, they come here during the week and they promise they're going to be here Saturday and they don't show up, which is okay, you know. And but it is good for them if they go to the website and study it and understand what the teachings are and realize in depth that what God did to his coin, and then come here and even in a greater degree understand his teachings. So again, if you have any other questions, go ahead and bring it up, and then just search your soul to see what is in your soul that, you know, in this mission you can improve yourself, and something that might be helpful to you or others in understanding the teaching in a greater degree. And of course, the Word of God has to be followed. I cannot follow it for you. I can just give you the teaching. And of course, most of you have been hearing it for the last 20 years, 25 years. And you have to become the Word of God and follow what has been given in the mission. And if you are not completely one with it and you are lukewarm, of course, the benefit will not be as great as you drop everything and say, yes, I am one with God and I want to be one with God. I have no desire of myself, but God's will is greater for me than anything else or anybody else. And of course, we have many levels of consciousness in the mission, like everything else in the universe, and we need everybody where they are to start on where they are and progress to a greater degree, also we need great souls to come and join and help and get on with it and forget about the little things in life, but the greater things that is in God. God is great. God is wonderful. Mission is good. You are all good. And as we become more God, of course we become more good. That is what we want to become, godly and good. I put an example for everybody to become godly and good. And actually, I was talking to Ishwara the other night. The conversation went to the night. We're really trying to create the night of the round table. We have the round table. We are just looking for the knights now to come and become a knight of the round table. Of course, Ishwara was surprised that I know that knights in French is called chevalier. So they're trying to create knights and chevaliers in our midst and bring the ideal of the greater beings as yeah, as people who are honorable, who are trustworthy, who are great, who are honest, who are willing. Yeah, chevalier. Chevalier. So we have to create more chevaliers or knights that create a greater quality of human ability to help other people. There are good ideals all over the world, you know, that humanity has been trying to create, and now of course we call them Paravipra in a greater degree, those who follow a certain divine path. Well, we don't discard the other good qualities that other people have tried to create, just like a Knights of the Round Table. We are looking for the knights, people who are creating greater character of humanity. Welcome to the mission of my first conversation room, Lou, and we don't have many people who are not part of the mission here, so we're having a lighter kind of a conversation together. If you have a question, go ahead and raise your hand. Anybody, you can raise your hand. We're talking about how Paravipras really have the same concept of the Knights of the Round Table. Actually, mission has a round table, and we have our meetings in around the round table, and the whole idea of round table is everybody is equal when sitting around it. It's not, doesn't have any top or sides, but all equally sitting around the round table, and that's what we're looking for. We are trying to create, or at least find humans that they have higher character and greater degree of human or God's manifestation of the valor, honor, ability to sacrifice for creation of the communities of life. There is an environment that we are helpful to one another, and not, if you do not have those higher qualities, can you still be called a knight? Would be called the knights around the King Arthur knights when they didn't have the honor or valor or those qualities? We have to create those qualities in ourselves. And it is very hard to come by these days, those qualities, because everybody is becoming very self-centered in this time of human history. But they are there. They are people that God has already chosen and they have been in progress to this point. Of course, it is good for everybody. Again, go to the website, or go to Rizzo, and come up with good questions. Of course, unless you don't have any question, and welcome to the Mission of Maitreya conversation room. In this room, we talk about the mission of Maitreya that unified all religions of the world and have shown that God has been sending the revelations of all religions to this point, and each of these religions have one great message for humanity, and only when you put all these messages together, the great path is revealed to man that will lead him to salvation. And if you have been here during the week, of course, you have been guided to go to the mission website and study our teaching, and then come here and ask your questions in a conversational manner. If you have any question that or anything you want to talk about, we had a question about the influences, daily influences in our life, and the conclusion was that it is the Holy Ghost, it is God that brings these influences. We become closer to God, of course, these influences are known to us in a greater degree. Actually, if you really become close to God, you will see that your whole life has been guided to this point, and you have been, you know, guided by God to reach where you are. And it is true for every human being. Of course, those who resist God, of course, you know, they have their own will and they resist the guidance of God. Those who become closer to the Spirit of God, of course, they have, K.S. Queen, you can come here and listen if you want to. I don't know if you have been in our room during the week. Usually the room is open here in the morning and noon and at night. And then you come here, they guide you or they ask you to go to our website that somebody will put it down for you. You can click and go and study our teaching, or you can see in the banner there, click on that one, either one. You can read all about this mission and what it stands for. And this mission stands for the unity of our religions. It has fulfilled the prophecies and opened the seven seal and revealed the book which is sealed with the seven seals to humanity. And now we are here and calling the elects, or the knights of the round table, or those who have greater quality of life and are willing to sacrifice everything and bring those qualities in themselves and teach others who have those qualities. And therefore, go to our website. I don't like to use my mic. I like to just hear what people are reading in the Bible. Yes, very good. Our teaching all is based on the Bible. And the Bible is the main book which all other religion is based on. And in the Bible, it reveals how God will send seven seals or seven angels, prophets. And each of these seals and prophets have one great message for humanity, and therefore when you see all of them together, you see the truth of God and plan of God. Therefore, during the week, if you come here, they ask you to go to our website and study them and see if you have any questions. And then you can come here Saturday and talk to me about them. I wrote that book, though, The Holiest of the Holies. I know the teaching. I have been teaching it for the last 20 years, 23, 4 years. And therefore, you can come and ask me, what am I talking about though? What is in it that that I am revealing to humanity? Yes, it is live. This is Maitreya. Is Maitreya speaking? Yes, I'm speaking to you right now. And I can see your text. If you have a question, you can put it in text. If you like to come up and take the mic and ask your questions, you can do that also. We ask you that keep the questions on topic, which is the mission of Maitreya, on or your religion or any religion you are in, and you can have conversation, man. So are you really the Messiah? Well, that is the question they asked Christ also. Are you the Christ? He said, if I say I am, you know, you might not believe it, because it's a big claim, and I agree with that. It is a big claim, and if I say I am, then I am lying to you, and I don't like to lie. Therefore, you have to prove it to yourself. Is he really, he is what he claims to be? Of course, it was other people who have proclaimed that Maitreya is Christ. They took advertisement in all the world and in all capitals of the world in newspaper and claimed that Maitreya is Christ. Maitreya is the Messiah. Of course, a lot of people also believe Maitreya is Antichrist. Okay? So who is the truth one? So you are Jesus Christ? But we don't believe that his name ever was Jesus. There is no J in Hebrew. But if you are talking about the Christ that came 2,000 years ago, it is the same spirit, it is the same being that came as Adam, came as Abraham, came as Moses, came as Christ, came up as Muhammad, came as Bob, and now it has returned to man. Of course, it's very hard. If you are a Christian, this is absolutely, probably doesn't make sense to you too much. So you were the one who died on the cross. Now that is a controversial topic. Did he die or not? Some people believe he really didn't die. But if you're talking about the belief of Christianity, it is the same spirit that came 2,000 years ago and brought the teaching of Christ or Christianity, and eventually, of course, the religion of Christianity was formed from it. Like every other religion, it has been influenced with a lot of dogmas and ideas and opinion. And if you want to know in a more deeper level about Christ, you have to read our teaching, go to our website, and that will bring a greater degree to understanding who Christ was. Of course, the most important part of any revelation or Messiah or Christ is his message. What was the message of Christ? Let me put it another way. Those crucifixes that hang on people's walls, that's you. Well, that's another thing we have to go in a greater degree. Which one? They have Christ with the long hair, they have Christ with the black hair, they have the Christ with the blue eye and the blonde hair, they have Christ with the different color of, body or skin, you know, and which one is that? So you can see those are man-made, and those are the beliefs that is how the Christ should have looked like. But if you're talking the Christ that came 2,000 years ago, then yes, actually if you come and touch my hand, you will see there is still a place that it shows the place of the nail, or just like when a wound is healed, how it heals, you can see on my wrist and on my hands. So, Those are the signs, of course, God is given. The scars. Good, thanks, Divine. The scars that you can touch and maybe believe. And those who have seen and not believed, those who are cursed and will not be incarnated for a long time, and blessed are those who have not seen and believe because they listen to the teaching and they say, yes, that makes sense. So do you remember being on the cross? Okay, these are the questions that are very personal questions. I don't know if it really make any difference to understanding our teachings, but I have had the experience or visions of what you're talking about. So, K.S. Queen, I guess I will have to leave because no man should claim he is the Christ, because when Christ came back, every eye will see him. Yes, you can see him in the website. The picture is there. And everybody all over the world can see him. And it will not happen the way Christians are waiting for. They miss Prophet Muhammad. They miss Bob. They miss Baba. And now, with this understanding, you will miss the last revelation of God. No, you cannot see Christ on the net. Well, why not? Well, how do you know what God meant when he said all will see him? And of course, those who have their eyes open, they will see the teaching and they realize the prophecies are fulfilled and all the things that God said he will do, he has done it, and they will see the teaching and they say, yes, there is one God, and he sent all this revelation. This makes sense. I'm not going to listen to preachers or my dogma. I'm going to listen to the truth that Maitreya are revealing to humanity. These are simple questions. Yeah, they are simple questions, but they are based on your dogmas or Christian dogma. It is not based on the truth. The truth is in our website, and therefore if you want really the truth, that is where you find it. You have to empty your cup. I can put anything in the cup that is already filled up with dogmas and your religion, just like a Muslim come and say, no, Prophet Muhammad was the last one, and you're not going to listen to anybody else. Okay, what can you do? And K.S. Queen said, it says in the Bible that every eye will see him. Yes, that is your third eye. That is the eye of the truth. Those who have their eyes open will see the truth that we have revealed. They will see the prophecies, and they will believe, and they have seen it. That is why not everybody will see it. These are the truth. But of course, if you have dogma, you will block the grace of God, and you cannot see it for sure. Can you do miracles, like walking on the water? Okay, again, that was needed for 2,000 years ago for people to believe in Christ. Our miracle is our message. If you understand our message, you will see it's a miracle. And you're not Christ. Okay, well, that's your opinion. God ask God, and he will say, I am. Can you do miracles like walking on water? Again, okay. What was going a little too fast. If there is any question I miss, if somebody send it to me, I will answer them. Not everyone can get the net. Not everyone can buy a cutter. Yeah, but also there are other ways that people can get in touch with the mission, and those who eyes are open will see Christ in themselves as well. They will see Christ out. Not everyone can have L. L what? Of course, when Christ comes. Okay, lights. Can have lights. Of course not. Yes, everybody has lights. Lights shines in the darkness, but the man comprehended not. Everybody has the light, but they cannot see it because they are in the darkness. And therefore, there is no one who does not have the light. Aren't you worried that people are gonna hang you up on a cross again? Well, it is not prophesied at this time that this will happen again, because actually if you read about the seven angel and coming of this revelation, he is supposed to be treated as a king. Of course, Christ was supposed to be treated as a king too, and they put the turn on his head and put the soldier's coat and called him king. Of course, they made a mistake, because when Christ came at that time, he was prophesied to be crucified, and that's why God created the internet. I can sit here and say the truth to you and guide you and tell you God has fulfilled the prophecies and have brought the new revelation to man. The only thing you can do is throw, you know, bad word or cyber stone toward me, but you cannot stone me the way they did Prophet Muhammad, or crucify me the way did Christ, or shoot at me they did to Baal. Of course, that is always a possibility for human to misunderstand God and take the very person that God sends to guide them as their enemy. And this has happened in the past. It is very clear that man does not want to listen to the truth of God. They want to listen to their own ego, their own religion, their own preacher, their own culture, their own gender, and they do not want to be guided. But this time it is time for the elect to see this clearly and come together and unite and create communities of light and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Also, you are not going to be able to kill me or crucify me, because I shall return. We believe in reincarnation. So it is a waste of time to kill me, because I'll be back. Okay? And when I come back, of course, I do the same thing, preach again the teaching of Maitreya. Do you ever have any doubts that you are the Messiah, or do you feel like you are the Messiah all the time? Well, of course, there is a teaching or writing on my life. You can go to the website if somebody wants to put how I became Maitreya's URL for him. You can read how that happened. And you can see that it is guided to this point. Go read the prophecies that God has fulfilled through me. No other prophet or messenger or Messiah ever fulfilled as many prophecies as God has fulfilled at this time. That is the URL. She didn't just put it up for you and on the map. And you can go and look and to see how it all happened. I'm not asking about that. Asking about what? My life? Or do I believe myself that who I say I am, I am? If I didn't believe in it, would I have started this mission? Would I help to create the website? Do you ever have thought that you are the Messiah, or are you confident all the time? Well, sometimes, of course, when people don't do the things that they're supposed to do, or the mission doesn't go anywhere and things seem to falling apart, of course, a doubt might come to somebody's mind for a while. As Christ said, as our teaching is, Christ is the Spirit of God, then he is absolutely one with God. As Christ said in one time, me and the Father are one, no one goes to the Father but through me. And then in another time he says, somebody called him good rabbi, he said, I'm not good. So there is two parts of Christ, as man, as Christ. And no Messiah or prophet ever is 100% sure all the time. So you're not 100% sure of it. Of course I am 100% sure of it. And when I'm giving satsang as this time, in this moment, And when I reveal the word of God, there is no doubt who is the revealer of the seven seals and the holiest of the holy and the last testament and the last revelation. You know? But as man, as a human, of course, human lot to doubt. Human, when the things go good for them, they are elated, and when things go bad, they become doubtful, and of course they become actually more badly when things don't go very well for them, and they say, God, help me, and all that. So, but in general, now I don't have to be 100% sure all the time. The most important is that I am sure. But you said you have doubts, so you must not be 100% sure. No, I am 100% sure. There is no doubt about it. No matter how you look at it, that is the way it is. So there is no doubt. It doesn't make any difference if I am sure or not. The most important is you are sure or not. I have proven to myself who I am. Now you have to prove it to yourself. This is your obligation and duty to prove it either way. And my job is done. I have proven to myself, but you said you have doubts. No, I do not have doubts at all, whatsoever. You know, that is what you are trying to create in this environment, in this room. There is no doubt, and that sentence is absolutely false. So, but because God has sent this to you, you are not obligated to look into this completely. Sure, go ahead, ask questions, but don't try to, you know, argue with me. You are arguing, you are not asking questions. I told you that there is no doubt, and if you want to know the truth, you have to prove it to yourself. And if you have doubts, then it is your doubts, no one else. And those who doubt, of course, have all the rights to doubt. Actually, we encourage people to doubt in the beginning, but after they have proven to themselves that this is the truth, they will not doubt as many times as they had. And of course, doubt is a part of human trend, and everybody doubts one or twice in their lifetime. But if they have really proven to themselves what is here is from God, their doubt doesn't stay very long. It stays for a while, unless they, you know, their spirit of world is so strong for them that they rather be in the world. And of course, how can you go to the world if you believe God has sent this revelation? So they have to doubt this because they need another master than God, and their doubt comes in and they go to the world. You said you sometimes have doubts when the mission doesn't go as it should and when people don't do what they are supposed to, then you change your mind and said you don't have doubts because you do not want to accept that believing somebody is who they say they are, it is proven to them that is the truth. And if there is a doubt come as a human part to them, you know, it does not invalidate their assurance and their ability to know the truth about themselves, and you want to use that part of human against God's revelation. Therefore, it is not the changing of mind, but blocking your tricky way to bring doubt in this situation. So, therefore, you are not correct. There is no doubt about this mission and where it's come from and what it teaches is from God. And those who doubt, of course, we have compassion for them, and we pray for them that their doubts will be lifted. But if they doubt to the point that they can go to the world instead of staying with this mission, we let them go. They are not the elect. They are not the chosen one. They are not the people that will stay with God forever. When you have doubts about being the Messiah, what do you think? Oh, I am just another human. Maybe I am wrong about this. Yes, actually, I am another human. It is a part of teaching. As Prophet Muhammad said, I am just a plain messenger of God. I am a man. But in another place he says, listen to the Prophet. His words are my words. Did he doubt himself? Was it a regular man? Yes, he was. He was a regular man, and in the flesh, as far as you are in the flesh, you are a man, you are a human. But when the Spirit of God comes through, you and the Father are one. You have to know our teaching. These questions are not become such a big deal for you if you understand what the truth of God's revelation is. He wants to answer questions. Okay? So, again, you have your own dogmas and ideas, and you think that Christ never doubted himself. Actually, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he even begged God, take this cup from me, and that's doubt. That is kind of a saying, God, you know, you made a mistake, you choose the wrong person, I'm not the one who should go to the cross. But of course, he realizes right away, not my will, but your will be done. So, your understanding of Messiah, of Christ, is false, and that is why you want to bring doubt to us with your misunderstandings. Go and learn our teaching, understand who the Messiah is. He is a man. At the same time, he is the representative of God and the mouthpiece of God. Therefore, there is an obligation and duty of every person, because God sent this revelation. God said there is going to be a seven seals, seven revelation, and a book will be opened which has been sealed with the seven seals. And now humanity is obligated to search and understand this very well and prove it themselves either way. Either prove yourself I'm wrong, it is again your understanding, or prove yourself I'm right. Again, it is your understanding, it's between you and God. I am a plain messenger, and I have brought the message to you, and God has fulfilled the prophecies, and what he said he will send to man, as he has said many things, and he fulfilled them. Again, he fulfilled his words. This is the time that the seven seals are open, and the book sealed with the seven seal is revealed. We are at this time that now the tribulation will come, and eventually God's kingdom will be established on earth. Are you God's only son? There have been the son of God even before the flood of Noah, and the spirit of the truth came to the creation at the beginning of the creation, and went through the eternally one path, and it became the first begotten son of God, and that is the first begotten son who comes as Messiah, as the prophet, and bring the message of God to man. And also, if you read the Revelation, God said those who overcome will become my son. Therefore, there will be many, many sons of God, and there have been sons of God even before the flood of Noah. Again, we guide you, Stonelight, go to our website, study though. It is your duty, it is your obligation, it is your responsibility, it is your salvation to do that and understand this teaching. Because if you don't do it, then you have missed the last revelation of God, and you will not be in a good shape. You and the whole humanity, this is a message to everyone. You have to prove it or disprove it, what this claim is. I would rather hear it from the horse's mouth. Okay, I am telling you that go and study your teaching and see the revelation. Right now, to this point, it sounds like your question is mostly about things that based on some dogmas from some of the religion, if you're Christian or Jew or Muslim, you know, there are a lot of misconceptions in these religions, and unless you go and study our religion and our teachings and realize the meaning behind, you know, the revelation of God, this question will be answered for you in a greater degree, and the only thing will be left for you would be, okay, what is the message? What is Maitreya is asking humanity to do? What is his teaching, teach me to become, and what is the will of God? Not these questions which already been answered are not that great of a obstacle in God's way. So if you had read our teaching or had listened to that song, it's clearly we have taught for last 23-24 years that there is two parts in the Messiah or the prophet. They are the mouthpiece of God and they are also men. Okay, I'm informed I'm breaking up. And if okay, so it's breaking up. Okay, is it still breaking up? Alright, anyway, this sad songs will be in the website. You can go and download them in a couple of hours or tomorrow. It's in a sad song time. It's called Conversation. And if you cannot hear them very well while I'm talking on the internet, you can hear them again in those tape videos, audios that are very clear, and you can download them. It just takes a couple of minutes. It's a very small file. So you can see, you have to take the first step. Now, my responsibility is to tell you this is the last revelation of God. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy. This is the opening of the seven seals and the books the books sealed with the seven seal. Now, this is a big claim. Okay? Now, also it says that the prophecy has been fulfilled, you know. The genealogy also matches exactly what God said that God will do. Now if all these things have come to you and you end up to this room and I'm telling you this is the last revelation of God, it is your responsibility and duty to see if it's the truth. And if it's the truth, then you are obligated to become a part of it. Otherwise, you missed it. You know? And if you came and you saw the truth and then you left, that's even worse. Because, you know, for some time you realize it's from God and now the world got you and you no longer have one master. So, when did you first know that you were the Messiah? Well, that's what I was telling you. Go to that book and read that. It's a longer story, you know, how all this came about. Actually, it is even evolving. I don't know if it's still evolving or not, but even the genealogy and a lot of prophecies and still people coming in with a new, you know, revelation or understanding of these things and making the mission in a greater degree to realize how God has been planning for coming of this revelation for last 12,000 years and how he has revealed so many truths that support our claim. So, and if you go and read that about my life, of course, you will see it is a gradual realization of who I am and the culmination of that process, of course, happened when I was in Chicago, and I went to the temple of the Baha'i temple, and in that moment there was a great vision that came together and brought the opening of the seven seals and this revelation. So it's all there. Did you wake up one day and think, hey, I think must be the Messiah because I had all this vision? No, it did not happen that way. Never happened that way at all. Even Prophet Muhammad had to meditate for 15 years, and eventually, of course, he had a moment of vision of Gabriel, and even then, after that, for 3 years, he wouldn't receive any revelation. And he just went crazy that, how come, you know, I had the vision, now I don't receive any revelation from God at all. So it does not happen suddenly, it happened gradually. Actually, after you receive the revelation and you study your life, you will see that all your life has been guided to this point. So after you realize that, of course, that revelation is very gradual. Antonius, did you want to say something? If you have a question, raise your hand and I will let you have the mic. Sound like you took your hands down again. So, if it doesn't have suddenly, it happens gradually. And, of course, when it happens and you have no doubt of hearing exactly what God wants you to reveal to humanity, and it is wonderful that we are all here and we see the Word of God has come to us again, and humanity can again realize God says He will do things for you or for humanity and has done them. Therefore God exists for sure, and we have to forget about our dogmas, our misunderstanding, our religion, our background, empty our cup, and be open to the revelation of God in order to be able to see the truth as God wants us to see it. Welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's conversation room. This is Maitreya, who talks about the mission and the revelation we have received and given to humanity. It unifies our religions of the world. There is only one God, and He has sent all revelation of all religion to humanity. Our teachings reveal that the only way is to realize that God has sent all religions. There is no separation between the revelation from the prophets. Probably the internet is very heavily used at this time, so we will have some problem probably with sound. And as I said, if you cannot hear it very well at this time, this conversation will be posted in the website, and it will be only a few minutes to download it, and you can hear it again clearly when you have the file in your computer. But at this time also we are calling for the people who come and help and join us, become a contact person. A contact person is the person who goes to the website or read our teaching or eventually realize that yes, it is from God, and they are willing to become a contact wherever they are and reach out in their own communities. So we are not only reaching through the internet, we are reaching toward the people who want to come and join and become a contact and reach to their community wherever they are. So that is another part of the mission. But you have to prove it to yourself first before you can become a contact. If you haven't proved it to yourself, you cannot become a good contact because you still have your own doubts, and you have not seen the vision. the most important thing is to see the vision clearly. After this, you saw the vision, it is your vision, and it's between you and God. And if you do not use the vision and spread the message, of course, it spoils like the mannas that spoiled at the hand of the Israelites, those who did not use it, and therefore after a while it will not give you the benefit that it can give you. Do you ever think you might be going crazy? Not really the Messiah, because they say that thinking you might be going crazy is a sign that you are actually quite sane. Well, a lot of people, they think I am crazy, but actually I think I'm the sanest person humanity can have, and there is no reason to feel crazy if you are absolutely correct and intelligent in your life. Actually, that is the difference between crazy people or those who have the delusion of grandeur and the Messiah or the true chosen one, is that those who have a delusion of grandeur, their life is miserable and full of, you know, bad decisions, and they think they are what they think they are without manifesting any revelation, any prophecies or anything, and actually their life is pretty bad shape. But the one who has chosen by God actually is a very intelligent person, and his life is pretty good, and he can handle the situation in life very intelligently. At the same time, he believes in God. I know these days believing in God and being intelligent sound like the contradictory situation. You're either intelligent and you have a good job somewhere and making a lot of money, or you are crazy and you are, you know, do you have a wife? Yes, I do have a wife, and I have a son, and therefore I am a family man person, and actually we handled our life pretty good so far, and therefore it is very hard to say it is very hard to say, you know, a person is crazy if they have a pretty well-rounded life. So, but what are you trying to prove? That's what I don't understand, is all these questions are, you know, very personal questions. What is the message? That is what you have to ask. You have to come and ask, what is the message and revelation of God that have come to humanity, and follow those messages. These questions are all answered in that booklet. We told you to go and study. Of course, there's no other questions there. That's why I'm answering you. Well, you are the Messiah. Of course, I am going to have questions. Of course, go ahead, have any question as you want, but why don't you ask good questions and higher questions and a greater level of questions about God, about the revelation, what is the message, and what is the goal of the life, why we are here, why this message has been come to humanity, and all those things. Those mundane questions are already being answered. So my questions aren't good enough? No, they're good enough, they're okay. But they are not, you know, the questions that should be in a higher level and you should be asking for your salvation. You know, have me having a wife or not doesn't help you in your salvation toward God. But that is curious, I understand, it's okay. People are curious about those questions, and you can ask them, but they have already been answered many times. But the revelation is the unification of our religion. How God sent all these revelations separately, but at the same time, they have all a part of a greater truth. And now that greater truth has come to man. Don't try to judge me. Try to understand me. You know, because whoever judges me judges the Holy Ghost. And those who judge the Holy Ghost, of course, they are doing it in their own peril and their own downfall. What your son think about you being the Messiah, he loves it actually. He doesn't want me to be anything else but the Messiah. And he accepts that very well, and his friends also accept actually the whole school know who I say and believe, and I think they, I am, and they have accepted this very well. So, no problem about that. But of course, some people probably feel bad about him that he has a Messiah as his father. But he doesn't. He doesn't care, and he loves me for who I am and loves me what I do. And actually, we have a very good relationship with each other. And he actually doesn't feel I'm his father. He thinks I'm his big brother or friend. So we have a very good relationship together, and no problem at all. And so what else, what other question you want to know about my mundane life instead of asking great questions about the teaching? Let me ask you a question. Have you been on our website? Have you gone to our website and studied? Stone, ask this is a conversation. I'm asking your question. Have you gone to our website? Do you realize that there are many people in history and at present who think they are the Messiah? Yes, yes. Oh, good, good. So that's good that you went there. I saw your picture a long time ago. Great, okay. That's good. So at least you have some idea about that. Of course I know there have been many people in history, and even now, actually there are many people who call themselves Maitreya, and they channel Maitreya, they're waiting for Maitreya, they are, you know, calling themselves Maitreya. But that's not important. But there is only one who is the Messiah, who is Maitreya, who is the person who God said will come and bring this revelation on earth. Prove it to me that I'm not. Prove it to me that what I claim is wrong. Of course, first, see the prophecies, see the teaching, see that they are based on the Word of God, that they are revealing what God said is going to send. Okay? Then prove it I'm wrong. If you prove it I'm wrong, I will quit. The moment you prove me I am wrong, what I say and teach, I will quit. Even if it is 1 minute before my death. But it is not. It is absolutely proven that what we say is from God. It is exactly what God promised will come to humanity. And no matter how many people before me claim to be Messiah, they are wrong. Unless they are the people they also fulfilled the prophecy and came from God, like Prophet Muhammad, Christ, Moses, you know, and all that. And whoever comes after me and claim that they are prophets, they are wrong. I mean, if they are Messiah and they have a revelation, they are wrong. If someone really prove you are wrong, you will quit? Yes, I will. If you truly prove to me that I am wrong, I will quit. But not based on your religion, your dogmas, your understanding, but based on the Word of God. If we compare the Word of God with what I say, if we compare with the prophecy of God, that's where we are and have happened. If it based on the Word of God and what He revealed to humanity, if anybody can prove I am wrong, I will quit. And I will do something else. Okay? Because I want to go to God. I want to go to heaven. I want to go back to the bosom of the Father. And I'll do anything to go there. He told me to do this, you will come to me eventually, of course, I will be the last one going to go in. The first will be the last, and the last will be the first. But if you prove to me that I am wrong, I will quit. No question asked. I will quit then. What has to happen to prove that you are wrong? I'm not saying you are wrong. I don't know. It's impossible. Anything happened that makes me proves to me that I'm wrong, because I have made it very clear to myself that I proved it. I'm right. So what makes me believe that I'm wrong? Okay, tell me any place that God said there won't be any seventh revelation, that He has not told that. Okay, that there's going to be two sons from Abraham and Abram, that they will have a territory and a prophet come out of them. The amount of the truth that is revealed to this in this mission is mind-boggling, you know, and the revelation that is revealed is amazing, you know. Even the genealogy that eventually somebody brought to our attention is impossible to fake it or make it. You know, how can you prove this thing wrong? Okay. Or anybody can prove this is wrong. It's impossible. Okay? I don't know how you can prove it to me that is so. Okay, I've got some higher question now. What keeps everything in the universe in motion? Rajaguna, the energy in the universe is the responsible for all the movements in the universe, and if you again understand the three gunas or three forces in the universe, you will see that energy is the power or the element that awakes propensities and movements. So that is what makes everything move. Rajaguna, a mutative force in the universe. Actually, without mutative force, nothing would have moved at all. Everything would have stayed still forever. Does Rajaguna exist in the physical universe? Yes, of course. Or is it a spiritual force? It's both. There is no separation between the creation and the manifested world and a spiritual world. This manifested world is an extension of the spiritual world, and that is why we do not separate the spiritual world and manifested world from each other. That's why we believe that everybody's physiological and safety need has to be provided before even with asking them to sit and meditate and spiritually progress. Therefore, we do see them as one and an extension of one another. So both worlds are one. They are not really one. They have the same elements. The whole universe is created with the same elements that God has been created. Therefore, universe is really the extension of Godhead or pure consciousness. Again, you see, I don't think you really have read our teachings, because if you had read them, you would have known that we believe that God is consciousness and three creative forces in the universe. And in the beginning, God or pure consciousness was in the equilibrium state. Therefore, there was no external manifestation. This equilibrium is changed somehow, and because the forces in the universe went out of that balance, the universe went to the chaotic state, or what Bible in the very beginning said, and there was chaos and the darkness, and of course God didn't want to see that His body is split to many different parts. That's what He moved and brought that creation under control. Would hearing these answers from the Messiah be better than reading from a website? Both are good. Actually, the best way is to read them from the website or from the book, or then if you have a question, come and ask me. That's why I have this room open Saturday. So you put some effort yourself first. Go and try to, you know, see what the teachings are. Because it's huge. It is a lot of information and truth and revelation and clarification is already been given in Go and our supplemental teaching and satsangs and all that. So the best way is you put some effort first yourself. You know, don't expect me to, you know, spoon feed you the whole truth. So go there, put some effort into it, read about it. Of course, I don't expect you to understand the whole thing because it has a lot of words probably you have never heard. It is a lot of Sanskrit word, Arabic word, you know, Persian words or things like that. And then come and ask me here. But the Bible says not to go beyond what is written in it. Where does it say that? Where in the Bible says that? A stone light? So reading your teaching is forbidden. Where in the Bible says that you should sound like you are a Catholic? Okay, Catholic say that. Bible does not say that. Where it says that? Tell us. It says that many times. Where? Tell us. Tell us exactly where in the Bible says that you should not go beyond Bible. Tell us the verse, okay, and the book where it is says. The words of Jesus are in red. Do not go beyond what is written. Where it says that? Where in the Bible says, yeah, well, I agree with you in that. That don't go beyond the red part of the Bible where the Christ said himself. If anyone adds to these words of mine, he will be exactly right. Anyone, but not the Messiah. He says anyone. If a person who has not fulfilled the prophecy and is not the mouthpiece of God, adds to the revelation of God or subtract from it, a greater burden will be put on them. I agree with you. I don't have my Bible here. Anyway, I agree with you. Nobody can give a commentary on the revelation, but he who has fulfilled the prophecy and opened the seven seals can. I'm not adding anything to it. I'm explaining what God meant with what he said. That is why the only place you can hear the truth and the exact meaning of the revelations of God and the Word of God is through the prophets of God and the Messiah who bring those revelation and the truth to you. I agree with you. No man should do that, but not the revealer of the truth from God. He can do that. But you add Rajaguna, that is not in the Bible. Yes, it is in the Bible. It is the first seal. The first seal, which is the mystical path, which covers the Buddhism, Hinduism, and all those religions. And in those religions, which is a part of the Bible, which is the first seal, talk about the gunas and all that. So you have to explain your mind. You have to first prove that I am who I am, and after that, no longer I am a regular man, which adds to the Bible, but I am the mouthpiece of God and have the authority and permission of God to interpret the meaning of his words. Okay, well, we are at the end of our time. Go again to our teachings and study them at a deeper level, and you will see that what we say, the truth. What is your objective for the world? The objective is to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Objective is to bring God to humanity, to bring peace and tranquility, to bring the kingdom of God for humans. We are in the state of the tribulation right now, and it's going to get worse. blackout for 50 million people last couple of days. It's a very small inconvenience for man. Greater problem will be coming to them, unfortunately, because they are not listening. They are not listening to God. They have still a lot of dogmas and misunderstanding, as we can see from your questions, that you are absolutely being brainwashed with the people that they tell you they are the representative of God on earth, when people listen to them instead of they listen to God and His prophets. That is coming, and God said many things in the Bible or and Revelation that He will do, and He has done it, and therefore He will do it. I'm very sorry, you sound convinced, but you don't sound like the Messiah. I don't feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Well, you have to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in the truth that has been revealed to you. Yeah, you probably looking for a preacher, jump up and down and say hallelujah and give you those emotional lift up that a lot of preachers in the television or church do, and they play with your emotion. Here we say the truth. If you want emotional and jump and down and feel good and put your hands up, oh, I'm receiving Holy Ghost, then you are working with the emotion, and those things will not take you to God. Those are not the presence of the Holy Ghost. The presence of the Holy Ghost is the certitude and certainty of the presence of God and His Word, not a moment of relief of an emotional uplift. That is not the Holy Ghost. If you are looking for that momentary feeling, that is not the greatest thing that can come to man. Okay, the good humor man, you can go ahead and ask your question if you want, but our time is finished. Actually, we are 5 minutes over. Okay, now you can let that stone light, because, you know, is not really helping the situation here. He is just babbling the like the great Babylon the Great. You go ahead. What is his name? If you have another question, I'll stay a little longer. Good human man. And if you have a question, go ahead. And otherwise, is it true that you believe that the seventh seals have been opened? No, it's not that I believe. It is opened. It is revealed to humanity what they are, and the truth has been already given to man. Yes, it is open, and it is revealed to humanity. Now, since, as you say, these seven seals have been opened, where were they opened from? Each earth or heaven? They have been opened in heaven. The kingdom of God is already established in heaven, and they have been known to humanity or to a spirit from the very foundation of the creation, and now they are revealed to human where they are at this point. Of course, if you again, we encourage everybody again, go to our website, go to our teaching. 12,000 years ago, the third eye of man was closed and human became a rational animal, and now they forgot the eternal divine path. So, in the last 12,000 years, humanity didn't know about the eternal divine path. They know about the different revelation from different prophets, and now He has revealed the whole truth to humanity, and we know the eternal divine path. So, the seventh seal is open, yes. And the last revelation of God has come. He has revealed the truth. He has revealed that He truly exists. And those who oppose Him, of course, oppose the Holy Ghost, and they are going to be in trouble. The seals have been opened from heaven, right? Just ask. What do you mean by open from heaven? If you want to come up and take the mic and explain yourself, you can do that. What do you mean by it is open from heaven? Okay, if you mean that, go ahead, good human man.
Well, I hope my mic works. I have trouble a lot of times on my end. I was just asking if the seals had been opened, where were they opened from? Were they opened from Earth, or were they opened in heaven? I'm just kind of wondering.
Well, they were originated in heaven. They are, that's what it's called. They show a path. Again, if you go to our website and study, you will understand them in a great degree. Okay, the whole idea is that the eternal divine path is a path. It's called eternal because it came from eternity. It came from heaven. It came from very beginning of the creation. It's the divine because it leads to divinity, and it's the path. You follow it. It doesn't have any dogma. If you don't follow it, you don't receive the benefit. And that has come from eternity, and therefore it has been in heaven, if you mean that. But it wasn't open to humanity. I have lots of questions. Okay, our time is finished. You are late a little bit, good human, but go ahead. Last 2,000 years, it was not revealed to human. Now it is revealed again. Go ahead.
Who opens this prophecy thing is wild. Who opens the seven seals?
Okay, if you go to chapter 5 of the Revelation, it clearly says only the lion of the tribe of Judah have the ability to open the seven seals, or the book sealed with the seven seals. So the only person who can open the seven seal is Christ, and no one else can. Part of the prophecy, of course, is the genealogy, and that proves the genealogy that my ancestry come from King David, and therefore I'm the tribe of the line of the tribe of Judah, and all that. So that is what the Bible says, and God says that's the only person who can open it. Go ahead.
Sir, did I just understand you to say that you are the lion of the tribe of Judah, and that it is you that is opening these seals? Is my understanding correct?
Well, actually, I didn't say that. I didn't say that I am this. Well, I said it right now, but I didn't know. Until some other people came, and they proved it to me that I am. So, in a sense, God put it in such a way that it makes it very clear to other people. I didn't come up with these ideas one day that I am this and I am that, but other people actually came with this idea that I am. But did I reveal the seven seals? Yes, I have revealed the seven seals. I have opened the book revealed with the seven seals. That is our miracle actually in this mission. Go ahead.
Okay. Who were these people that came to you and told you that you are the lion of the tribe of Judah? And do you specifically recall opening these seven seals?
Well, these people are the people that even didn't know me. They came to our room and they insisted that I had to be from the King David. And the only thing I remember was that my parents, especially my mother, used to insist that we are from the Nader Shah, the king of Iran for, you know, around 200-300 years ago. We, our ancestry goes to him. And those people told me, well, Nader Shah was from the King David. His ancestry goes to King David. And then, of course, they have made the effort to find my genealogy, and after a couple of months of study and research, they came up. It is in website. If you go to the website, my genealogy is right there, and that it connects me to the King David. And of course, that doesn't make you a Messiah or the line of tribe Judah, but of course, after you go and you study the prophecies, and you connect all of them together with the revelation and opening of the seven seals and the teaching based on the word of God, then you have no choice but to conclude that yes, this is from God and this is the fulfillment of the promise of opening of the seven seals. Go ahead.
Let me see if I can remember my next question.
Oh, okay, I lost your sound, the good human man, humor man. Do you have any other questions, or that was it? Okay, go ahead.
Has the Antichrist been revealed from heaven yet?
Yes, for a while our teaching was that Antichrist is the world, is Maya, is going to the world, and of course, before I announced my revelation to humanity in 1982, there was a gentleman by the name of Krem came, and he claimed that Messiah or Maitreya will come in 1982, in the spring of 1982. And of course, his Maitreya never showed up, and his teaching is not based on the word of God, and the way his Maitreya is supposed to come is not based on the scriptures, and the way God has been doing it all this time. Therefore, we believe that still the Antichrist is Maya, is the attacking of the external world. But also what Mr. Kram says and represents sound like opposition to Christ. They don't even believe that Christ was born in flesh, and they say he's been overshadowed with Maitreya, their Maitreya. And therefore we believe also he has already announced to be here, and therefore their Maitreya and their claim is the opposite to the mission and the word of God, and therefore it is Antichrist. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Revelation 6:2. Who does that reference? As John writes Revelation, who does Revelation 6:2 talk about? What is that referencing?
Okay, can you read the verses?
Sure, I'll be happy to. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Who is that?
Okay, that is referring to the first horseman, the revealer of the, the first horseman. The first horseman is the teaching of the first seal, and that is of course Christ. Christ have revealed all the revelation to this point, and he is the first rider, and that's the teaching of the Far East and the mystical path, and it has brought with many revelation and teaching, which is referring to Christ. First seal referring to Christ, second seal referring to Christ, the third seal or the rider, the fourth seal, all of them referring to the same being. Go ahead. Tell me what is that talking about. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm having some power talk lag problems here, I think, where I'm at.
Mm-hmm, okay.
You said Revelation 6:2, the first rider and the second rider, the third and the fourth rider are all...
I think you have a lot of problem with your PAL talk. I'm not receiving any sound at all. Maybe you should go out and come back and we can continue then. If anybody else, they have things to do, they have to go, you go ahead and go. If you want to stay, of course, you're welcome to stay. That would be fine. But right now, you can type. That would be good. Okay, will you be here when I... come back? Yes, we will wait for you. Go ahead and go out and come back, and we answer your question then. Meanwhile, if anybody else have any question, you're welcome, good humor man. If anybody anybody else has any other questions related to the mission and our teaching and want to know the truth, not to be emotional and just yell, no, you're not. That just doesn't help. It's just it's just really immature way of wanting to prove you're right. You're not seeking the truth. If you are seeking the truth, you will go and study and compare and look and see and eventually prove to yourself if either it's truth or not. If you do believe it is not truth, go your way. We leave you to God. We didn't come to your room and yell at you that you're wrong. Just go ahead and leave us to God as we leave you to God. But if you prove yourself that it is the truth, then come and join us and help out. Go ahead. Good man.
Thank you, sir. And I would like to thank you for the discourse of our conversation. It is rational with mutual respect of each other, and I want to thank you for that. Can we agree that that John is in heaven beginning in Revelation chapter 4, and Revelation chapter 5 is a kind of a... the scene is still in heaven. Can you and I agree with this? And as John sees these visions that God allows him to see, he writes them down and in the book called Revelation. Can you and I agree with that?
Well, I guess first we have to agree, what do you mean by heaven? Do you mean it's a place that people go to? Or is it a state of consciousness? What do you mean by heaven?
Okay, heaven is... I gotta go into preferences and do my global. There you go. There you go. All right. I'm sorry. I'm awfully sorry. Okay. The reason why I say it's heaven is because of this verse, and it's found in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let me read it. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Come up hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And the reason why I believe he's in heaven is because also of the next verse. And immediately I was in the Spirit and beheld a throne was opened in heaven. And one sat on this throne. Now, you have to agree that this is heaven. I mean, God sits upon a throne. His throne is not earth. Earth is the dominion of Lucifer for right now. If you're Jesus Christ, you ought to know you wrote the book. Lucifer has dominion over this earth. Earth is the dominion of Lucifer right now. Heaven is the dominion of God. That is where his throne is. Can you and I agree with this?
Well, Goodman, you didn't answer the question. What you said, it sounds, the way you explained it, okay, now I can understand where you're coming from. Okay, you sound like either you're a Christian or have a background of heaven. It's a place that the people die and they go in, and the Lucifer is a man or a person who is ruling the world. And therefore, when they say come hither, so when they say the kingdom of heaven on earth, what do they mean? You mean earth goes to heaven? Did somebody pick up earth and take it to heaven, another place, and now we are in it is the kingdom of heaven on earth? That's why my question was, what do you mean by heaven? Apparently you believe heaven is a place, is a physical place that exists and people go to. We do not believe that. Heaven to us is a state of consciousness. It is pure consciousness. It is godliness. Earth or lower nature is where devil reigns, is where the lower nature is and man falls to there. So if we can agree with that, which one is correct? Is it a place or is it a state of consciousness? Then we can continue with discussion. Go ahead.
Well, sir, the Bible mentions no state of consciousness. Now, you asked me where heaven was or what heaven is, and I told you that heaven is the abode of God. That is where God's throne is. Now, here, explicitly, in this verse, it talks about heaven. It speaks of a door is opened in heaven. In heaven. Mm-hmm. This is a literal place. It's not in... John was not in anybody's consciousness right here. He was in a literal place called heaven. And he sees a multitude of things. He sees a door opening. He's given an order to come up hither. John sees a throne. John sees one sitting on the throne. Now, these are not in his mind. He's not in anybody else's mind. He is in a literal place. Now, you and I, sir, we have to agree with this. I mean, John is he's standing in a physical place, and he sees 24 elders and 24 seats. He hears thunderings and lightnings. He sees seven lamps of fire burning, which represent the seven spirits of God. He sees a crystal sea of glass. He sees four living creatures. John is in a place that is beside consciousness. Can you and I agree? I mean, if you are Messiah, you have what is known as a place that is called heaven.
Okay, good human man. We can't agree because I understand that you're coming from, but you don't know where we are coming from, and therefore you say the things you believe is correct. You mean, therefore, anybody who has vision any time in the history of man, it means they really went to a place, okay? Daniel had a vision of a goat and a statue that was head was gold and all that. Even it existed, it really was there. Or many people have vision of Christ with different color of hair or body and all that. So Christ had many different bodies. You see, we are talking about the vision. We are not talking about the place that is. Yes, in a spirit, in vision, in consciousness, John saw those things. And God can give vision to people and show them places that they believe that exist. But do they really exist? That is what is so important for you first, to prove to yourself, if I am who I say I am, and then drop your own understanding and understand God's understanding, which comes through this vessel. If you haven't proved that, then we're going to have argument in the sub-discussion. Okay, that is the point. We're not going to be able to agree because I don't believe, and I know the heaven is not a place. It is a state of consciousness, and you believe it is a place. Then we cannot agree. One of us have to give in. Either you are Messiah, or you have the word of God, and then I have to listen to you, or I have the word of God, you have to listen to me. So we have to really to clear that one first, then we can discuss further this matter. Otherwise, you cannot convince me heaven is a place. Yes, it is said, come hither, but come from your lower nature to higher self, which is heaven. Go ahead.
Well, I would never say that anybody who had a vision was right or wrong, but I do believe that John had this vision, and he was right when he wrote about it. Yeah. And I don't believe that it was just in his mind. I believe that he was in a literal place called heaven. Now, the Bible forbid mankind at the end of the book of Revelation for adding to and taking away from his hallowed word. Mm. Can you and I agree with that point? We have to agree somewhere. We have to find some mutual ground that you and I can agree on, and then we can go from there. Can you and I agree that God, from his hallowed word, the Bible, explicitly says that a man cannot add to or take away from the Bible?
Well, the problem is
this book. Can you agree with that?
Again, that is the same problem. We cannot agree because we know where you are coming from, but you don't know what our teachings are about these matters. Therefore, the only thing you think we should agree is with what you believe is the correct way. Actually, the same question came up with another person, Stonelight, around an hour ago, that no man can add to the Bible or the Revelation. That's correct. No man can do that, but Messiah can. That is what you have to first realize, if I am who I claim I am, and if you proved yourself, yes, I am, then I can prove it. But if I am only a man, no, I cannot. And if I do, I will be punished very severely for it, as the Bible said. Therefore, you can see that our problem again is, you know, you have to prove yourself that my claims are correct, and then we can go from there. Otherwise, you have your own understanding and from your religion or the preacher or who or culture, and you have some ideas what they mean, and you want me to agree with that, and it will not happen. Go ahead.
Okay. Revelation chapter 22, starting at verses 18, I'm going to read 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written within this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the midst and the things that are written in this book. Do you agree with those two verses, sir? This is in your Bible.
I don't think you hear me, good man, that I agree with those words, but those words are for men. Men cannot do that. Okay? So if you don't understand what am I saying, you understand that God can do that.
I have to ask this next question. Are your hands nail scarred and your ankles, and does your side have a spear's wound in it?
Yes, you can see the scar in my hands and in my wrist. And remember, Bible has been written with the people who have changed a lot. Therefore, having a scar in the feet and side is not something that completely could be correct. Somebody might have made it up, and really haven't looked at my feet very often, you know, but you can see the scar on my hand and my wrist. So, and most of the crucifixion actually happens that way. They crucify you by putting nail on your hand and your wrist, so make it even more painful, because if you have your feet, you know, nailed, and it is much easier to pull yourself off. It's still a little painful, but if you are hanging just with your hands and wrist, that is much more painful. But yes, I do have those. Also, you see, these things are not just experiencing that crucifixion. Many people have experienced, you know, they have been crucified, and they believe they are Christ. The most important is the prophecies and other things that God has revealed here. Go ahead. You have any other question for me, good man?
Yes, you know, I believe it's Matthew chapter 24, and I can look it up real fast if you need me to. You know how it is said that if any man says, I am Lord, or over here is the Lord, believe them not. Are you familiar with that passage?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Okay. My question, respectfully, sir, is since I do believe that passage, I believe it is in the 24th chapter of Matthew, why should I believe you when the Lord Jesus Christ explicitly says that I should not believe a person that says, I am Lord, or over here is the Lord, and come and see? Being respectful, sir, we have to address that issue as well.
Well, actually, that sentence is very correct. You shouldn't believe anybody, not even me, that I claim what I claim. You have to prove it to yourself that my claim is correct. And if you prove it to yourself, that's not what I told you. It is what you have realized and the Holy Spirit and God revealed to you. And that is what that sentence means. Don't believe anybody. And believe what God will reveal to you in a clear way, in the revelation, in the prophecies, in the genealogy, and at the end you say, yes, God indeed has sent his prophet again to earth, the Messiah is here, then you can claim to the humanity, the Messiah is here. That's the only message anybody in the mission should take to humanity, that Messiah is here, and that is the most important thing humanity to know. For many shall come in my name and say, you see, if you have gone to our website, if you have studied our website, you have seen all these questions you are asking or answer. I don't mind repeating myself, but this is just, you know, something that has been answered, all of them. And it just once that my names, I didn't give my names to myself. None of my, besides one of my names, Jalalullah, which was the distinguish between Baha'u'llah and Jalalullah, but Jalalullah really means the glory of God. The rest of my name, Maitreya, Muhammad, Vijay Kumar, and all my names are given to me. Joseph, and none of them are given to myself, and therefore that prophecy does not apply here. If you had gone to the website, you would have seen those things very clearly, that what you believe is all incorrect, and all of them has been answered, and God's revelation indeed has come to earth. And now it sounds like you are here to prove I am wrong, and you will not succeed, and it's going to be a waste of time. Go ahead.
Well, I may not succeed, sir. You very well may be true, but I'm going to be respectful of you, and I thank you for being respectful of me.
Sure.
It says in Matthew chapter 24 that it gives a scenario of things that will happen during the last days. People will tell you, here is Christ, there is Christ. Believe them not. False teachers, false preachers, wars, rumors of wars, brother against brothers. And then in verse 30 it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Sir, that is after all these things. We have not seen all these things yet. So you would be an imposter by this verse in Matthew 24, verse 30.
Okay, I don't think calling somebody imposter is being polite and respectful. So you broke your own rule here, you know. And if you want to be respectful, then be respectful and approach this matter respectfully. Answering your questions, what you have read, it's already been happening on earth. The brother is against brother, the father against son, and son against the mother, and all that. It is happening. The tribulation is here. What do you need to know? This is like a Sodom and Gomorrah. And we have all the signs here that it's the time for a new revelation. He will come from the heaven again. If you go and read or study and inform yourself, you will realize that heaven means pure consciousness, and he come as an avatar, as a person who have been in pure consciousness. And therefore, you again go study your teaching and expand yourself, get out of your dogma, and become an expanded-minded person that reveals truth to you. Either you are a truth-seeker or you are trying to prove you are right. If you are a truth-seeker, this is the truth. If you are trying to prove you are right, I'm telling you are wrong. Go ahead.
All right, sir. But this verse, Matthew 24, verse 30, explicitly says heaven, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. You're on earth. This speaks of the second coming. Can you and I agree with that? The second coming where Christ comes and redeems the church. Can we agree on something tonight?
No, we can't, because you are throwing your dogmas here. You don't know what we teach, and we do not agree with your dogma. That is the whole idea.
of the new revelation comes to explain the truth, not dogmas and agree with it. That's what exactly happened to Christ. Christ came, Jews had a lot of dogmas, and he didn't teach the dogma they believed in. That's why they killed him, because they couldn't stand seeing the truth. Again, I'm telling you, if you are seeker of the truth, here is the truth. If you want to be proven yourself, you are correct and your religion is the best, it is not. And I'll take you only one more question from you, and that's going to be the end of it. If you have any other question, go ahead. We will not agree because you don't understand the standard teaching, and what you are throwing here are Christian dogma, and they are incorrect, and we have proven already that most of them are just man-made, made by human ego and preachers, and it is time for the elect to come and seek the truth and realize the true meaning of heaven, of earth, of hell, of Christ, of his coming here and there. Okay? So if you wanted the truth, go to our website. If after you understood our teaching, you come here and discuss with us, fine. Don't bring your Bible and your understanding here and expect me to agree with you. It will not happen. That is the last question you can have. Bye. Go ahead.
Well, I will end our talk with a verse out of the Bible, Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. And with that, sir, I will depart your room.
Okay, well, we have heard this before. Not a new news or nothing new. And apparently you don't want to know the truth. You want to be proven correctly, and you have been proven not correctly but wrong, and therefore you do not want to stand the truth because there is too much light there to stand it. I leave you all God and be with the Spirit and prove everything to yourself, and hopefully you will progress and see the truth that God has sent to humanity. And God be with you all. Salut.